Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Welcome to Cosmic Channels! I'm your host, Braden. This is your show. I just hosted. Cosmic Channels is a call-in show similar to Coast to Coast AM, where we take calls from all over the world about your spooky or scary stories, UFO sightings, cryptid encounters, experiences with the paranormal, and everything in between. Before we get going tonight, Cosmic Channels would not be here in season 8, kicking off, without the support of the fans, and you guys have been awesome. This week's sponsors are John Jacoby, Bandito, Invalid ID, Julissa, Art by Jesse, Hillbilly, and Chango. The support has been overwhelming for the beginning of season 8. We've had people donating backgrounds for the live streams, as well as a huge shout out to Count Mortlock for donating some wickedly creepy background music you're going to hear tonight, as well as Rob from Turned On Productions. If you want to help Cosmic Channels grow, there's a couple easy ways you can do it. First, you can go to paypal.me/cosmicchannels, donate to the show, help us keep the lights on. Everything I raise for Cosmic Channels, I put right back into the show. And if you're looking for a free way to support the show, go check out our YouTube, Cosmic Channels, and try and just stream a couple videos. We're trying to get to 3,000 hours played so we can monetize that channel. So please, it's an easy way to help the show. But just like that, we got a call on the line, and everyone knows calls take priority. So let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
ATT. I'm Hugo. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I love your podcast, man. I've been listening to it, binge watching it, man.
Good. I'm glad you enjoy it. How'd you find it?
Because I was looking up UFOs, and then I got really scared, yet I was laughing with the AI podcast and the Moffitt family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, those were good.
Yeah. The Moffitt family demon. Yeah, that's a good one.
And that's close by too, in Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was calling because of a ghost story.
Oh.
I experienced. Yeah.
Good. I want to see it. Hold on. Before you say it, before you get going, let me set the mood here. I'll get a nice spooky. There we go. All right. Let's hear this ghost story.
All right. So I was in middle school. And at that time, that house was haunted. I mean, I had my friends over, and the door would open, and it would get scary. And I'd be like, "Oh, that's just Casper, don't trip." And even my brother saw that the Hat Man shadow, and sat right next to him. But my story is it was during summertime, summer vacation, and so I decided to do my homework at the end of summer on vacation, you know?
Yep.
Proper time to do it. and I was doing it, and I remember feeling a hot sensation to my left side. I was on the computer, And then I turn around and I see the antenna from the TV just moved. But I was used to the activity, you know?
Like, so
and I wasn't.
You said you felt like a heat?
I felt something warm. Usually you feel something cold. This time I felt something warm, hot, like it kind of burnt on my left side. But I made nothing of it. And so I continue. I ended up going to the restroom, you know, and it was back in the 90s. So I was, you know, doing number two, reading the shampoo bottle.
Yeah.
And again, I felt something. And back then, we used to have a walk-in closet, and my mom had a big, heavy drape at the door. And when I turn around, and the restroom door is closed. And that walk-in closet is by the door. I remember the bottom corner, the bottom left corner, it picked up. But the right side, it didn't move. Usually that happens because when you're going to walk in, you just move one side, you know?
Yeah.
But if there's a draft, the whole drape moves. But it was just one side. Like somebody just quickly ran in. And oh, man. And I was taking a dump. And I knew I had to go through that door to get out. I quickly washed my hands and I just ran.
Yeah.
And but that wasn't over. And all that happened in the same day. And then I continued doing my homework. I was in the computer, and then this time the doors started opening and shutting, bam, 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 like crazy. And I quickly looked at the window to see if it was a draft or something. You know, I split second, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's a draft. And the window was closed, so the heat wouldn't come in, because it was summertime.
Yeah.
And I just ran out. I just panicked, and I ran right through the door, because that was the only way out. And my mom was there, and she saw the fear in me or something. And she started screaming at the ghost, "You better stop scaring my son or else I'm going to put you to clean." And I swear, as soon as she said that, it just stopped.
Jesus.
And yeah, that was my, I was scary, man.
Man, so I got a question here. So like your mom yells at this thing, it just kind of stops. Your mom a spiritual person, like, at all? Like, is she a believer in the supernatural?
Well, I mean, she's seen stuff. I'm telling you, this house was active. I mean, everybody has stories. Like, my brother saw that famous shadow.
Yeah.
With the hat, with the tall guy with the hat. And he sat on the bed. And my brother said he felt it. So he moved his legs to make room for him. And then when he woke up, he asked people, and there was nobody. And I mean, that house, people have seen stuff. So my mom, I guess she was used to it, but she saw me terrified. I was terrified. I wasn't thinking. I was just running. And she started screaming at it, and it just stopped.
It's so weird, because I'm like, part of me wonders if, what jumps into my head is, I go, does this, whatever this thing is that's kind of torturing you or trying to scare you, does it have some like connection to your mom where it respects her enough to listen? Or do you think that like maybe this thing is just fearful of your mom because it knows that like if it fucks around too much, it's gonna find out? Like, your mom's gonna bring some sage and exercise some goddamn demons in that house. Like, those are the kind of the two thoughts that pop into my head.
I really know.
Right?
I think it was something evil, because usually if it's a ghost, you feel something cold. But I felt something burning me. Yes. I remember I was even after that, I was just laying on the floor trying to cool down, because my body was burning. And I think it was just feeding out of my fears or something. I don't know.
That's such a strange one to feel that burning. Like, that's such a unique experience, because yeah, normally it's everyone gets the chills.
I
mean, that's just,
and you know, and we were used to having I never seen a ghost, but I saw stuff move, like the door, the restroom door. It was normal. It would open by itself. And I would have friends over, and they'll be sitting there next to me. We'll be by the computer. And then it would open on them, and they would jump. They'll be scared. They're like, there's nobody there. And but that time, it's just, I felt something bad.
Yeah, that's such a wild encounter, because it's like all in like a span of a short, in one night, right?
It wasn't on the daytime.
During the day? Oh, I thought it was getting into the night, like during the day. Oh my goodness.
It was like, during the daytime. Those three things happened.
Oh, I'm in my head. I was picturing them at nighttime. Oh my God. I mean, holy, how do you go to sleep in that house after that?
Well, I know my mom, after that, she got holy water, because we're Catholic, and she brought it and she sprayed it all over the house, and she put a cross by our bed.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you're talking about. That ghost fucked around and then found out. Your mom was like, "All right, well, if you're not going to be respectful, I'm going to put up some deterrence here." Now, there's some people in the chat asking. One of the questions is, did you notice any smell besides the maybe your own number two that you took?
No. It's just that you felt this warm sensation. And then you turn and you would see it, like, I'm telling you, that drape, it really looked like some, like if a little kid ran into the walk-in closet and just quickly moved the drape aside and ran inside. And I mean, and the door was just slamming open, shut.
Oh, that's creepy, like, man.
Multiple times, and I looked at the window thinking, oh, maybe it's a draft. And then I just panicked. I just ran.
The burning sensation on your side, I just want to dig into that a little bit. When you say you felt that burning sensation, can you like describe it? Like, is it? Are we talking like it felt like someone touched you with like a curling iron, like something that like actual was going to sizzle you, or was it like, you know, like a one of the like heat pads? Like, what was the level of that warmth that you felt?
You know, when you're by a campfire and you get really close and you can feel that heat.
Yeah, lower, it's uncomfortable.
And if you stay too long, it'll burn you.
Yeah. Okay,
and
so
that's
a weird...
And I felt it around my neck and my shoulder.
Oh, that's so weird. That is a weird place to get it, man. I don't like that. It's like it was sniffing or breathing on you, like at your neck. I don't like that at all, man. Right? Yeah. It gives me the shivers, man. Any redness to you or on your skin or anything after you felt that you noticed?
I was too busy trying to cool down my whole body. It was just burning hot. Like after all of that, I was just like trying to cool down. And I that's the only thing that was on my mind. And seeing my mom shouting at the ghost that it's gonna make it clean if they don't stop.
Yeah. Now,
my respect to my mom. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah, man. She's a G in the face of evil.
she just stayed up and think twice.
That's it's such a wild one too, because I'm just like, during the day, that the heat, like all this happening so close, and like, so you said you were having continuous, like people have seen this like throughout the time you're in this house. I don't know if you're, is someone, some family member still in this house?
Well, we were renting. Okay. And I remember the restroom, it had this yellow stain, like if you drag something. And I remember, it was the width of a person. But I don't know what, whatever happened. And I did live in the hood, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. But, it all came from the restroom. Because when my brother saw the entity, the guy with the hat, he also came from the restroom, and something happened in that restroom.
Weird.
And that's
maybe something awful happened there, and there's a tortured soul that's leaving.
And that walk-in closet was big, and I used to play hide and seek in there, but I would start you would start getting scared, you know. It was big, but for some reason it just had. you couldn't stay there for too long. It would just give you the creeps.
Yeah, that's terrifying, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing carried with you, like now, like there's you're not having issues with ghosts and kind of those kind of experiences still, or is this something that you're like attuned to?
No, it was just, I think it was that house. That house was just, we moved out and everything is good. I was once at some other place, I only happened once. I was with my girl at the time, and it just started moving the doorknob, and I went and checked, and there was nothing. But that didn't scare me.
Yeah,
this event, it's different.
It sounds like that. What you experienced before with the heat and stuff like that sounds terrifying, because it sounds like whatever it was being aggressive, like, and its purpose was to, like, actually, like, make you fearful or try to harm you. It's wild encounter. Someone in the chat's asking, was it a pretty old house?
No, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, nothing like it. It wasn't like a heritage home from 1856 or anything like that.
No, but it wasn't a bad neighborhood, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know.
Wild, man. It's a terrifying, yeah. That's a terrifying account. How, like, do you think about it all the time? Like, how has it affected you? How has it affected your life?
Well, that's what got me into ghosts. And then that got me to UFOs and Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the beginning of it.
Yeah. Right on, man. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story. It is absolutely terrifying. So hopefully if anyone's had a similar experience, because yours is very unique with the heat, hopefully they call in and share.
All right, man. And keep doing your show. I love it. It's my favorite one.
Good, man. Thank you so much for listening.
I show it to my kids and I show it to my wife. And yeah.
Right on, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Take care of yourself.
Have a good one.
Bye. That's terrifying. I mean, when he talks about feeling that heat on his shoulder and his neck, I can't help but picture something like leaning in, like vampire style. Just like that, we got another caller on the line. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, yeah, this is Marcia Jacoby. I'm calling from Wilmington, Ohio, and I'm supposed to tell you that I'm John Jacoby's mom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you got a story for us?
I do.
I love it. Good. How much on a daily basis does your son annoy you? That's my first question.
Very rarely.
Oh my goodness, he seems like a ball breaker. Is he? Okay, that's good. We'll give him a break here then on the show. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, John wanted me to tell you the story about an encounter that I had. I was young. I was 18. I had my first child. I was living in Jamestown, Ohio. And I heard this really strange, low-pitched noise. So I'm by myself. You can imagine this.
Yep.
And I heard this really strange noise. And I looked out the window. And I'm not crazy. This is the truth. Outside, I saw something hovering. And very quick, it darted around. And then it just took off as fast as it came and in it, and it made this really weird sound, and I was like scared to death. But yes, that's in my encounter. I really have seen a UFO. So
okay, just some follow up questions. Did this thing emit any light at all when you saw it?
Yes, it actually did. I could tell that it was disc shaped, and the bottom of it was it was a shiny surface, but you could see that there was various colors of light being emitted from the bottom. It looked like it was, you know, spinning around. It wasn't like an airplane that was just flying around. It moved much faster, and it was too low to be some kind of a plane, and it was dark, you know, so
Yeah. So no hell, like no helicopter noise, nothing like that.
No. There was no noise except for this sound that went boo. It was like that, like almost like a cartoon. Yes. And I was so scared because, once again, like I said, I was young and I thought, oh my God, because I've heard of people, you know, hear these stories that they get abducted, and I'm like, I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrifying. Now, with that noise, I mean, when you kind of just describe it, you ever played with, and I'm just going to try to, when I picture in my head, I'm going to try to describe some if that's what it is. Do you remember those old, like, toner devices where it's like the old hearing test and the people would turn up the dial and you could hear that, like, whoo? Like they could power that up.
That's it.
Is that exactly kind of what it sounded like? Because that's interesting. Because I wonder. Yeah. I've always kind of wondered if the acceleration does have a noise, if it would be tonal, like into some sort of high pitch frequency, right? So maybe you were just catching this thing powering up before it took off.
Yes.
So when you say it was spinning, like when you said it was hovering, was the disc actually spinning as well?
When I looked out, it was just like kind of just still.
Yeah.
And then it all of a sudden it like lifted up and it, like I said, it was dark and you know, I really wasn't that far away from it. It was out of my, a little past my front yard, to tell you the truth. It appeared to be spinning. But when it took off, it just like lifted, just like, I've never seen anything like it really. Closest thing that I would think of in today's world would be one of the drones that just take off straight up and go.
Yeah, and how long ago was this?
Oh, gosh, 45 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, so like, yeah, we're not in the time of drones, so we can scratch that out right away.
Exactly. And, you know, back in when I was younger, if you told somebody this story, they would think you were crazy because it was really unheard of to have anything like that, you know. This did not happen to me, but to my grandmother who has passed. Her good friend was an elderly woman, and she was supposed to be coming to a meeting that we were having, and she was late. When she got there, and I will explain, she was not a crazy lady. She got there and she said, I'm sorry. She goes, I got lost. I don't know what happened. All I know is I got lifted up into this saucer. And I'm just sitting there as a kid thinking, you're crazy lady. And she really honestly had a story of how they looked. And it's just like what I've seen on the news, you know, tall, lanky. And she said they just didn't hurt her, but she was dropped back in a place she didn't know where she was.
Oh, weird.
Now, you know,
is that in the same, like, is it the same town still that you saw this thing?
That happened near Wilmington, where I live now. And then I lived in Jamestown, Ohio, which, I mean, and it kind of was going through my mind as well, is that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is over in Dayton, you know, and I thought, well, I wonder, you know,
it's nicknamed Area 52, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, I wondered just, I just couldn't imagine what it was other than, you know, I really haven't told too many people this story because my husband, I told him I was going to talk to you and he goes, are you really going to? I said, well, heck yeah, mate. I'm sure there's other people.
Oh, there was someone who called in with an abduction story earlier tonight. You are in the right place and you are among friends when you tell these stories here. That's a fascinating UFO story. I love getting firsthand accounts of these things.
Yeah.
How has that, seeing that, how has it impacted your life from since seeing something like that?
Yes, I'm a very, and this is getting off on a whole nother, you know, I'm very intuitive as far as, I don't want to say this. I can feel if there's someone around me that has passed and I can feel things. And my grandma always told me that I had the gift that the various people in the family. But anyways, having that and then seeing this UFO just made me very much more aware of my surroundings. And I do find myself looking up and wondering and, you know, and just try to either in my mind think, is that just a plane or, you know. And then I've heard on shows that once you've ever encountered one, it's you're the one that mostly will see more than one in your lifetime. So, well, I wouldn't mind now that I'm older.
Get some questions answered. One of the things I wanted to ask too is because some people say with these kind of sightings and stuff, sometimes they feel like a weird, almost like a mental connection to this thing, even briefly. There's some sort of conscious connection. Was there anything like that for you?
Other than I just couldn't stop staring at it because I think I was in disbelief that me, of all people, why am I seeing this, you know? And it was right over a farm. And then I started thinking of the horror stories as, oh my gosh, I hope it's not going to, you know, bother anything on the animals. Or,
yeah, of course.
You know, but yeah, it was just, I don't know. I guess I felt kind of happy that of all people, I did get to see, and I could not, a lot of people can say that. So, but it is interesting. And I believe in UFOs. I do. I think anything that we don't know what it is an unidentified flying object. So, you know, but what I saw was not man-made. I the way the shape of it was, you know, like I said, it was very sleek and fast. That was the thing. It disappeared. And like I said, it's almost cartoonish. I can still remember when it went up. Just from like hovering still, went up real fast, and then that's when it made the sound. And it was like all I could see was like a light, just like a flash, and it was gone.
And it's
it was crazy.
And it's on one of the points you make. A lot of people who have shared their UFO stories with me, you know, I've heard it accounted a bunch of times where they're just like, you can just tell it's not mimic, but the way this thing moves, it is almost unnatural.
Absolutely.
And it's so like out of the realm of anything that you've seen or experienced. And I've had pilots say that, and you know, various other people who have, you know, captains on boats who have seen USOs under the water. So it is a very common theme that you see these things and you're just like, you can tell that it's different. Something's different about that. So it's so wild. And thank you so much for calling in with your firsthand experience, because I hope it triggers a lot of more people to want to come forward and share. We don't think you're crazy. There's stuff out there. So call in.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mama Jacoby. We love you. And we thank your son so much for having you connect us today.
He's a, like I said, he's a great person, and I just love him, and I'm proud of him.
Yeah, the chat is blowing up. They're saying that you must have kept all the cool.
Oh.
So thank you so much for calling in.
So nice talking. Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye. I love that call for many reasons. One, phenomenal UFO story. Unbelievable. But do you have parents that have a story? Do you have parents that have had a weird experience? Do you listen to the show and go like, hey, you know, my mom or my dad or my grandpa has seen something or has an experience? Get them to call in. I mean, lie, cheat, and steal. Get them to call in. I want to hear your parents' stories and your grandparents' stories as well. So, you know, we all have a, you know, a grandparent or mom or dad who's seen something or has experience. So I want them to call in. Lines are open, 1-833-703-0424. Because Cosmic Channels is recorded live every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's your chance to call in. And if you don't want to call in, if you don't want to call and you're too nervous, you can always write your story into me at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. I may read them. I might get some other podcast hosts to read them, or even some of the fans to read them. I feature them on all the live streams, and at the end of season 8, I put the collection of fan read submissions together for a nice fan read submission episode. But another new thing we're doing on season 8 of Cosmic Channels is, if you've got a podcast and you want to do an ad swap, shoot me a message at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com, and let's help each other out. Just like this ad for Sad Times Podcast, which is another call-in show, just like ours. And us call-in shows, we got to stick together. So please check out the Sad Time Podcast and check out their ad.
Hey there, this is Kevin from the Sad Times Podcast. On Sad Times, each week, we invite guests on to tell stories about some of the most difficult times in their lives. Our goal is not to solve, diagnose, or fix the difficulties, but to have real, sometimes humorous, as much as possible, conversations about the sad times we all share. While not always discussed, these times remain universal, and we hope in hearing the stories of others, you find yourself feeling a little less alone. Please come join the conversation at sadtimespodcast.com. or wherever you get your podcast. That's Sad Times Podcast, a subsidiary of OmniSad, brought to you by the human condition.
While you were listening to that ad, we got another call on the line. We got ourselves Dan from Smithers. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
What do you got for us tonight?
I got a alien abduction story.
Oh, I love it. Let's hear it.
So, this guy, he used to work in those, what do you call them, lookout towers. So before they had, like plane spotters and whatever, people manned those old, towers up on the mountains. And he used to sit in one of those for months on end. So, like, I knew of this guy, and I always wanted to talk to him, like, oh, that guy's seen aliens for sure. Like, he has to have some sort of story, right?
Yeah.
So I finally, I was out driving kind of where he lives. I worked for the highways, and I didn't actually know what he looks like, but I saw this guy, like, hobbling down the road, like, with poles and wearing a funky sweater, and I was like, oh, that's got to be the guy for sure. So so I befriended him, and started chatting him up, and he wouldn't, I think he's had his own encounters that he didn't want to let on to, but he did give me, he wouldn't give me any of his own. Oh yeah, I should give you some backstory.
Okay.
So I heard a rumor, this guy used to be a teacher, and I heard a rumor that he used to say he was half alien. So that's why I was fascinated in this guy. I'm like, oh, I gotta talk to this guy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, that was a crucial part of the story that I totally forgot. But yeah, he used to be a substitute teacher. The word on the street was he claimed he's half alien. And so I'm like, okay, I got to meet him, get a story for the boys. So anyway, so I'm talking to this guy, and he wouldn't give me any of his own stories. But he said he used to work with a guy who said he got picked up by a craft, taken to like another mountain, and dropped off, and it took him like all night to hike home, apparently. And unfortunately, I couldn't get like a lot of detail out of this story. Like, that's kind of the gist of it. But the other part, like, apparently he came to the old Bulkley Inn. It's like this famous pub in town here. And he just like a TV show, he busts in the pub and he's like ranting and raving about what had happened to him. And of course, like, everyone just wrote him off as a crazy person. But I don't know, man. So yeah, so I gotta find this guy. Like, he's a local guy. He might still be around. So
he's just like a local legend in Smithers, as someone who's like an abductee.
Sorry, say that again.
He's just like a local legend in Smithers.
He's not a local legend. I don't think many people have heard this story, but. Like, you think he would be a local legend, but it's a small enough town where, like, sooner or later, I should be able to figure out who that guy was.
Yeah, you figure I've been to Smithers once or twice, so it's like I feel like that would be like you definitely could track down someone who knows him and hear about it.
But I'm definitely going to try and kindle a friendship with this old guy because I know he's got more. It's just, it's hard to break into those conversations. Like, you know, you got to kind of take it slow. You can't just pull over and be like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen aliens?
Yeah,
you kind of look like the weirdo.
It's,
I try anyway, but.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I would do the same. I mean, you gotta get him, one, nail him down, get a story, and then two, convince him to call in and share it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your homework.
I think he's guarded because I think he was like pretty open about his stuff back in the day, and then I think he got wrote off as the crazy guy. So I think he's pretty guarded. But if you drive by his house, he's got like, you know, like Bigfoot statues and all this weird stuff. His house is like designed like a giant like shoe, and he's just a really funny guy. And guarantee, like, I bet he's seen Bigfoot for sure. And who knows, maybe he is part alien. But I'm going to work on it and I try and dig up some more stories. Oh, yeah, there is one more story. Sorry.
That's it.
So this other story I had was another feller. Sorry, do I have time for one more?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Quick one? Okay, so this other story I had. So the guy, he'd been out a long time, you know, so you can kind of write this off as delirium or whatever, and very plausible. But laying in his bed at night, and all of a sudden, so there's these, I don't know if you've ever been in one of those fire lookouts, but they have these like wires that run along the top interior of them. And it's like, I think it's something to do with stabilization. I think it's how they anchor, because there's like four cables that anchor to the ground outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, he looks up and he sees like electricity, like visible electricity, like running through these lines. And apparently like something in him just made him like want to grab it, right? I'd probably do the same thing, even though it's crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I guess, or like instant death.
Well, yeah. Well, I remember like swimming in Mexico for the first time and seeing like all these beautiful creatures. And I was just like swam down. It was like a sea urchin. And I just like reached like right for it. And my brother's like, what are you doing? Just don't touch it. I was just like kid in a candy store.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so maybe something like that. So he grabs the hold of this thing. And then all of a sudden he starts like getting all these visions. Like where he was, there was an old silver mine like in the mountain, like an old tunnel.
Okay, yeah.
And he says like he could like see the miners like digging into the mountain, and he could like hear like the mountain screaming as they like burrowed in. And I don't know, I think that's all I can remember of that story, but it was kind of cool. And I forget what it's called, but it is a real phenomenon when you can like actually see electricity like that. And well, I don't know, this guy was telling me this, and I wish I could remember what he called this phenomenon, seeing this visible electricity. But
well, like maybe like I'm like ball lightning, but not really. Like I don't know what kind of phenomenon that would be. That's so strange. And it didn't kill him, so like,
yeah. So yeah, sorry, it's kind of short, and
it's all good, man. But, I like it. It's a weird thing. Maybe someone else has seen something like that and knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, true, exactly. But yeah, I'll try and get this guy again and dig a little deeper, because yeah, I'm sure he's got some gems.
Beauty. Well, let us know when you get a hold of him, and call back in and give us an update.
Sounds good.
All right, take care of yourself. Listen, you got a local legend or a phenomenon in your area that isn't widely known, or maybe it's a really popular spot that you just happen to live close to and you have an experience there as well. I'm looking for your calls. I want all calls. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. I take all stories. I want to hear them. And you don't have to be nervous. We'll get through it together. But just like that, we got another caller on the line. Calls take priority here at Cosmic Channels. So without further ado, let's get to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Spooky Jay from the UK.
What's going on, brother? How's it going?
Yeah, I'm all good. Thank fuck we've got that sorted.
Oh, dude, I'm just having the second I've tried to fix anything, this is, you know, always the issues I have. I have no idea exactly what's happening here at all, to be honest. But thank you for calling in from the UK. It's the middle of the night for you. What do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, fucking hell, man. We're going back about 20 years ago. My nan passed away, and I came downstairs in the middle of the night, and my mum had all the perfume bottles in the bathroom on top of the cabinet, the big heavy bottles. There's no way, like a gust off the door opening would have blown them over. And as soon as I switched the light on, all of the bottles on top of the cabinet just scattered everywhere. I kind of just froze in place, had a massive shiver, and I was just like, nope, switched the light off and fucking ran back upstairs and got back in bed. I didn't even have a piss. And I just stayed there till the morning, come back downstairs in the morning, and I was like trying to knock the bottle, stood the bottles back up, trying to knock them over, and there's just no way. They were just too heavy for anything to blow them over. I just don't know what it was, but yeah.
How old were you?
Freaked me out a bit, but I was probably about 15, 16 at the time.
Really? And how many years ago was that? I don't want to age you, but I should have just asked. I'm
34 now, so.
And anything else ever happened in that house?
No, nothing.
Anyone in your family or anything experience like that?
So my mum was down just after my nan had passed away, was tidying up down my nan's house, and she was hoovering up and remembered my nan always saying, can you just clean under the counter for me? And she went to hoover underneath the counter, and there's a dustpan and brush underneath there, and it fell over, and as my mum went to grab it to pick it back up, apparently, according to my mum, it stood itself back up against the wall. And she was just like, couldn't understand how it had happened, or it just freaked her out. But yeah, it's just probably my nan saying that, just giving us a message that she's, I don't know.
Now, so there's just that one-off incident and then nothing else?
No.
Wild. And it stuck with you that long?
Yeah. Just freaked me out, man. Especially the perfume bottles, because they were big, heavy bottles. So there's no way anything could have blown them over, and they'd be literally just scattered everywhere.
That's wild. Now, any ideas? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I've got no explanation. Because I stood the bottles back up and closed the bathroom door and opened it as quick as I could to see if I could recreate like a gust or anything that could sort of blow them back over. And there's no way, they were heavy bottles, so there's no way they were pushed over by something, but fuck knows what.
Yeah, that's so strange. Now, and it's so weird that you just have this weird one-off situation. Like, I kind of, in my head, I'm like, did you possibly bring something home?
I don't know.
like maybe an antique or something that like you guys brought in that was possessed or something. Or I don't know. It's so strange. It's so weird just to have a one-off and then nothing ever again.
Yeah. I know. It's strange.
Stokey, before I let you go, do you want to take a stab at what's in the box?
Yeah, I'm going to say, is it a pack of McCormick's candy bananas?
That would have been a good one. I didn't even think of that. No, there is not candy bananas, Stokey J. Thank you so much for calling in with your story.
Okay.
Really appreciate it. Awesome. That's the first, I think that's one of the first calls from the UK. Now, if you're from the UK and you're listening, I did open up the last Sunday of the month I would do an AM episode, which was about 6:30 London time, so people from the UK could call in. But there's a catch. It is not toll-free for some reason for people calling from the UK. So please, if you're listening from the UK, bear with me. I am working on getting a UK-friendly number so you can call in. And it's not going to cost you hundreds of dollars or, you know, $80 unexpected on your bill to share a story just like Stokey did. So UK listeners, stand by. Follow me on Instagram for updates. You can, it's cosmic_channels on Instagram. Follow me there. Go check out our YouTube channel. We'll have stuff posted there for information. Or if you can't find it there, shoot me a message at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. Let me know you're waiting in the wings to tell a story, and we'll get to you shortly. But just like that, we got another call on the line, and this is going to be our last call of the evening. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Garrett. I'm calling from Vancouver Island, BC right now.
Garrett? Vancouver Island? Where, yeah. Where do you want, are you okay to say where? North, south?
Yeah, I'm traveling around right now. Currently, I am at a small city in the north, kind of at the tip of the island. So,
like Port Hardy?
Yeah, around there.
Port McNeil?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. I'm not going to say you're in Port McNeil. I'm not going to say anything. I'm in Campbell River, so I'm a little south from you.
Oh, cool.
If you are floating around there, there is a tale from Port McNeil, and I've never got to stay in Port McNeil. I've always kind of passed through. But if you're there for any kind of time, right. There is in a book. It's called the UFO Casebook. There is an account that Port McNeil at one time built UFO landing pads.
No.
Yes. And it's written in this book.
What?
And I've gone there and I've kind of stopped at the gas station and stuff. And I've been like, hey, you guys still have those UFO landing pads? And it's been met with like, huh? What? But it's like written in this UFO case file book. So I'm always like intrigued when I go up there. I see people be like, hey, check out like, if you can find these goddamn UFO landing pads, like I want to see them so bad.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely look out for them. I haven't seen anything like that yet, but who knows, right?
Hold on, just give me 1 second. I'm going to grab the book so I can read the passage to you so you have the information.
Yeah, totally.
Give me 1 second.
Absolutely, thanks.
Okay, all right, hold on. Put my headphones back on. All right. Look at it. Port McNeil, hold on. You could be under P.
Yeah, P or M.
Okay, listen to this. Port McNeil, British Columbia, Canada. And I'm going to hold it up so everyone can kind of see that there. Port McNeil, British Columbia, Canada. The Canadian government appears to have made several attempts to offer UFOs a means of identifying themselves, perhaps the most famous of which was the designation of 1,000 square miles of land over which aircraft were not permitted to fly in order that UFOs could land unmolested. The field is, in fact, seems to have been part of the inspiration for Major Donald E. Keyhole's suggestion, Project Lure. A slightly less ambitious attempt was instigated by the Defense Ministry of Canada at Port McNeil, British Columbia, where landing pads were prepared for UFOs. Similar pads were also set up in St. Paul, Alberta. Unfortunately, such advances were stood up by the visitors. So it says that there's... Yeah, right? Isn't that, I'm like, this book is cited and sourced, and I'm like... I gotta find these. I gotta find these fucking landing pads in Port McNeil. So every time I am a drive through, I usually stop somewhere else and I ask anyone. I go, "Hey, you know about these landing pads?" So if you have any luck when you're up there asking people around, I want you to just let me know.
Absolutely, I'll start asking around. I'll take a look at some of the back roads around here. That sounds super interesting.
Yeah, I was like, there's got to be probably a sign or something like. You know, I don't think they would just tear it down.
I haven't seen anything. That's so interesting.
Yeah. But Gary, what do you got for us tonight?
I got for you a story that I haven't shared before to really anybody except for an ex of mine about when I was tree planting in northern BC.
Ooh. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So I didn't have much to do a few years ago. I had just dropped out of university, so I decided to buy a one-way ticket pretty much to the middle of nowhere, BC, and start tree planting. It was pretty fun. I got there, and it was pretty much like a four-hour drive from the nearest town was our camp. And then from there, it would be another anywhere between hour and three-hour drive to where we actually planted the trees, right? So we were far off from any kind of civilization.
Yeah, you're out there.
Yeah, and I remember this one day. It was a few weeks in, and I wasn't sleep deprived or anything. I've always been very open to paranormal experiences. I've always loved the idea of supernatural, but I am very I'm very careful with kind of figuring out what's happening. You know, I like to make sure it's not something explainable first.
Yeah.
So I was in this big area that was logged. I was planting alone, and the rest of my group, you know, was in other places because we planted in these huge areas. So I had this huge logged area field with woods on every side, pretty much. And it sounds silly, and I swear it wasn't bad eyesight, but a few hundred meters away, there was this big stump that had been logged, that had been chopped right off. And I swear I saw a head sitting on it. And it was really strange, and it looked like a head with kind of a really wide mouth. A really wide mouth, kind of showing teeth, maybe smiling or something. And it seems really strange, but I got this really, really weird feeling. And then I looked up and I saw this, and I was kind of wondering, okay, is this my eye playing tricks on me? So I kind of walked towards it. And as I walked towards it, every time I get maybe 100 feet away, and I didn't have my phone on me or anything because, you know, I'm out there, so I couldn't take a picture or anything. But every time I'd get maybe 100 feet away, it would just kind of fade into the background and disappear.
Weird, like some sort of fucking Cheshire cat.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it was like this disembodied head. It wasn't like, I didn't see any blood or anything. It looked like it had this kind of maybe medium length black hair and this wide mouth. And the thing is, it wasn't just from that angle. I planted all throughout that field today. And every time I was more than maybe 100 feet away from this thing, I would look up and it would be sitting there, what seemed to be facing me. So it wasn't something like sitting behind the stump that was causing it to look strange. It was just every single time. And so one time I tried walking towards it while keeping my eyes on it, and I got still about that 100 foot or so mark, and it kind of faded away again. And it was really strange. And at the end of the day, when I was leaving the block, I was walking away and I looked back and I could still see it there, and it just had this really, really eerie vibe around it. And my stomach kind of twisted. I felt a little sick. And then I planted there many days after that in that exact same field, and I never experienced another thing.
Oh, that's so terrifying. Because I was like, in my head, yeah. I was thinking like, listen, I'm a hunter and an outdoorsman. So like, I've been in the woods and I'm like glued to the tree line. And I'm like, I see something. There's something there. And then right. You walk and it's like, oh, it's the branches were tricking me. And I'm a huge wimp. Like, oh, that's for sure what it was. And then,
No, exactly.
But this is like, that wouldn't happen because you saw it from all different angles.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I saw it from all different angles, and, you know, I was on those blocks a lot. I could tell what branches looked like and stuff, and sometimes, you know, some scary stuff, you know, you do walk up to it, and it is a branch sticking out at a weird angle, or another stump behind it or something. But this was weird, because I almost went fully around the thing. It was almost like a 360 I had to plant around this stump, because it was kind of in the middle of the field, and no matter where I was, it was just there, and it was so strange. And every time I went up to the stump, there was not a rock on it. There was not a stick on it. It was just flat.
Yeah, that's, man, that's so strange. Because I'm like trying to picture, like, now, did this, like, was it a, it didn't look like a wooden mask or anything. It looked like a human's face.
it looked as made out of flesh and blood as you and me, and that's what terrified me. You know, it wasn't some kind of, you're right, it didn't look like a wooden mask or anything. It looked like a person's face. Now, it wasn't moving. It wasn't like you know, lip syncing anything or talking or anything.
Well, I was moving in the sense that it was fixated on you.
Yeah, you're right. It was moving in the sense that no matter what angle I looked at it from, it seemed to be facing me, like I could never see the back of the head or anything. It was really, really strange. And it's funny because I was just thinking about this the other day, and I've never done any research on it, right? Because I didn't assume anybody had experienced anything like it, right? But I looked it up the other day, and in kind of eastern Canada and like northern East United States area, I believe it's the Iroquois, have a legend of a floating head with black hair that's in the woods that has a very wide, toothy grin, and it eats people, apparently.
Well, I mean, listen, from your it sounds like that's what you saw, but I got the vibe when you were telling that story that like it was leading, like it kind of made me think that it was leading you towards it, because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I'm so, what is that? But then at a point it would disappear. And what gives me what sends shivers down my spine is that I think maybe in my head what I think could possibly have happened, right, is that you were fixated on that thing at that point, so it knew you were looking for it there. And I think maybe what had happened to your own luck is that when you get there and it disappears, like had you really scanned, maybe it was somewhere else, hoping that it could lure you closer out somewhere else, right? Like it's gone. And then you kind of look and you're like, hey, there it is.
That's such an interesting,
right? And
theory,
then,
yeah.
And because it knew the place where you knew it, and because like in the woods, it's sometimes hard. Like if something's not giving you that that horizontal motion, like it doesn't really catch your eye. So you're really like, you know, having to like, if deer blend in fucking great. Like, you know what I mean? So you have to be really fixated.
Right.
So it's like, if you're just kind of scanning and like, oh, that was weird. Right. Like maybe this thing was waiting somewhere else for you. And maybe it was trying to lure you somewhere away. And it just knew every time you walked around that he's going to look here, because it knew you saw it there, right? That's what, like, it's giving me fucking shivers, and I'm like,
no, you're giving me shivers. I don't like the fact that I think you're actually maybe right, you know.
Well, just when you say this thing like this head that eats people, and I'm like, man, I kind of got the vibe when you were telling the story that like it was trying to lure you somewhere. So I was kind of thrown off when it disappeared, but then I'm like, did it disappear or did you just luck out and like not see
it? Did I not notice it show up somewhere else? Because the tree line behind it did have a very different feel, because it wasn't quite in the middle. It was kind of closer to one tree line.
Goodness.
And that tree line definitely had a different feel compared to all the other ones. I mean, pretty much no matter what the weather was, you know, we deal with storms out there, sun out there. It was just a lot, kind of almost, it sounds silly, but a little, it was kind of darker than the other tree lines. It just seemed like a more thick woods than the other tree lines.
Oh,
and
dude,
that's a tree line, you know, I didn't go into to pee or anything.
So, like, honestly, I've been hunting, and I'll come across ridge lines and go, and I just look at the next area I'm going to go to, and I've gone, no, not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, sometimes you just get a feel in the woods. I don't know why. You just, like, you're like, I don't want to.
It's like I wonder if it's almost like a protective instinct from days past when we were in the woods more, you know?
Oh, 100%. You're like, I might die in that section, and I know it's safe behind me. I'm going back.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, by the way. I know it's kind of after the call.
No,
time,
no, of course. Dude, I love getting the calls. And I said early on, I kind of end the live stream, but I don't really end it. I just, after I kind of end it, I give people opportunities to kind of shape how we change the show and stuff. But if there's people who can't call, the calls are the show. So I always take the call. So don't feel bad. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing that absolutely terrifying story, because are you still up there in the woods?
I'm No, I'm not up there anymore. It was a little bit ago, but
Northern BC.
It really stuck with me.
Can you tell me the nearest town?
The nearest town to us probably would have been Prince George or Quesnel.
Okay, yeah. So I know the area. Like it's dense. Yeah, it's dense.
So we were about kind of four hours north a little bit.
Yeah, man, it's terrifying. That's absolutely like that's nightmare fuel for me. Like it's given me nonstop shivers thinking of this just head just watching.
Yeah, I thought it was terrifying when it happened, and then I thought it was a little silly because it's like, oh, maybe maybe something happened that day that I just, maybe I ate something bad or something. Yeah. But then I like I said a few weeks ago, and this is a few years after it's happened, I looked it up to see if there's anything similar to it, and it's crazy that somewhere in Eastern Canada there is a group of people that believe in these floating heads with black hair with wide mouths that do things like scare you away or lure you into the woods and eat you. And I was like, it's almost an exact description of what I saw, which gave me the biggest set of goosebumps I've ever had.
Yeah, they're called flying heads. Yeah.
It's
flying heads. ravenous spirit. It goes by Big Head, Mohawk, and a whole bunch of different names that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. You can look it up if you're interested, if you're listening to this. They're called flying head. People are asking, any smell in the forest? Any like, did you notice any weird scents while this was happening? Anything else out of the norm?
I wouldn't say outside of the norm. You do pick up on some weird stuff. I mean, you're in places that nobody's been except for the loggers, pretty much. You know what I mean? These forests were untouched until a bunch of logging companies came and chopped down all the woods and then you're just there to replant stuff. So it's definitely, it's strange because, you run into bears a lot out there, and I ran into bears, but never did any of them give me the feeling that head did. And it was just weird, man.
This is not comforting at all. Because I was just like clicking through and looking at different links of this thing. And one of the tales is like, it leads you and it's always a little bigger.
Really?
So you're like, oh, there it is. And you're like, oh, it's a little bigger. What the hell? And then,
no, I don't like that.
No, me neither. Then all of a sudden you turn around, there's a giant head that just devours you. Any bones or anything in the area?
Terrifying. Sorry?
Did you see any bones or anything?
Not human bones. Actually, in that area, I did find quite a lot of animal bones compared to... I don't know if it's just from like natural things decaying, but that area I found more animal bones than any other area I tree planted. I mean, I found the jaws of like what looked like elk and moose, and what somebody else who was planting with me in a very similar area found like fox skeletons and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely creepy. I'm not sure. I like just because you had that experience there. I'm like, fuck. Is there a connection to that? But it's just, dude. That is an absolutely terrifying story, man. Like honestly, terrifying. I'm gonna have to watch a comedy now or something after listening to this.
No, exactly. And it's like I've dealt with some paranormal stuff earlier in my life. Haunted houses, creaky doors, shadows, and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is one of the few things that have happened to me where I can't explain it, and I know that I was of right mind, and I know that I was there, and I saw what I saw, and it wasn't like a trick of the light or something, because it happened so many times. I mean, I was out there planning for it was a while. I was probably out there planning for like 10 hours, and I'm saying like it was there like a little bit into when I was planting, all the way until I left.
How long was this thing watching you?
That's hard to say. I was on that block. I'm trying to remember how long I worked that day, because when you're a tree planter, if the block is far away, it'll take 4 hours to drive there, 4 hours to drive back, and so we only get 4 hours of planting time because our day is kind of 12 hours long.
Yeah.
But if it's like 15 minutes away, then you get almost 12 hours of planting time. I think that one was kind of halfway in between. I might have had anywhere between 6 and 10 hours of planning. Let's call it 8. And I'd say that probably six, if not all eight of those hours were spent in that, in those trenches.
In its hunting ground.
Yeah, in my hunting ground. I'm honestly glad I didn't look any harder into those woods.
Oh, no, dude, that is terrifying. And, like, after reading this, I'm like, I feel like, yeah, dude, I'm looking at some of the Iroquois, like, folklore masks they make of these things, and it's exactly what I pictured in my head you describing. So I'm like, that's...
Wow!
Yeah, I'm like, this is so freaky. So, oh.
Yeah, that is wild. It was so weird to me, too, because a few weeks ago, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get a Google search result for disembodied head in Canadian forest that isn't from a murder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's strange. I tell you, life is full of weird stuff. I mean, the shadows and the shadows and things moving a little bit on their own, I can deal with. But when a disembodied head is smiling at me for 8 hours, it drives you a little nuts.
That is terrifying. Thank you so much for calling in.
Of course.
Story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. And if you're ever down in the Campbell River way, shoot me a message. Maybe we'll link up for a beer.
Yeah.
Look over some pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. Well, you have a wonderful show. I just kind of got into it, and I appreciate what you're doing. So have a wonderful night.
Hey, how'd you find it before you go?
I somebody left a comment. I left a... I grew up South Island, and I'm part of a group called, it's like Old Haunted Victoria or something.
Yeah, that's me. I left a comment being like, this is a good show.
Oh, you left a comment.
Yeah, buddy. You got to grind. You got to grind to get those listeners.
No, exactly. No, I get it. I get it. Right? It's all about that advertising.
Yeah. I'm glad it worked.
That comment is working.
Right on.
Your marketing is going good.
So me and someone in the chat, Invalid, commented on my post being like, this is great. Another listener of the show. So, yeah, awesome. That's funny. Thank you so much for calling in, and have yourself a good night. Stay the hell out of those woods, man.
Yeah, of course. Have a great night. Thank you, man.
Take
Bye.
Care. Oh, my God. That's why we keep the lines open the whole time, because you never know when you're going to hit fucking terrifying shit like that. Oh, my God. Terrifying. Good luck sleeping after that. Oh my God, I'm never going to go in the woods again. But listen, if you want to help out Cosmic Channels, there's a whole bunch of ways to do it. You can go to paypal.me/cosmicchannels and donate to the show. Help keep the lights on. Everything we raise here at Cosmic Channels goes right back into the show for ads, for gear, to purchase call subscriptions, everything. It's a net zero show right now. Everything we just put right back into it, trying to grow the show. So in speaking of growing the show, please tell a friend. Go tell a friend to check us out. Or if you've got a friend who has a story, or a parent or relative who has a story, please get them to call me at 1-833-703-0424. You can follow us across all social media platforms. We got TikToks, we got Facebooks, we got Instagrams, Cosmic Channels. You can find us. Help us out. Stream some stuff on YouTube/Cosmic Channels so we can get those views up. And if you want a shirt, you want to support the show that way, you can head to our merch store, crowdmade.com/collections/Cosmic Channels, and get yourself some Cosmic merch. But just like that, the Cosmic Lines are now closed. See you next week.